Have you ever had to overcome a challenge that was so big that you were filled with doubt, fear, and uncertainty because your life was at risk? I mean, you were facing the ultimate challenge and you had no control of the outcome. My guest, Shannon Coleman, was diagnosed with breast cancer. She beat it. However, her faith was tested. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous, was her go-to scripture. That's just the beginning. And if you want to listen to this whole episode, hey, join me as I talk with Shannon Coleman on Why Not You.
So we'll get this party started.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is another episode of Why Not You with my homegirl, Shannon Coleman.
Hey,
she lives in that sorority life too. You know, Delta Sigma Theta. Let's throw it up. Let's represent real quick. Yeah, there.
Wait, this is a podcast though. They can't see me, all right?
Hey, they're gonna see that because that's gonna be. And so, before we get it kicked off, got to start off with a quote, Maya Angelou. Mm. Stand up straight and realize who you are, that you tower over your circumstances. You are a child of God. Stand up straight. Maya Angelou.
She's D9 family too, AKA. Yes. Just want to, you know, put that out there.
Right on. D9. Hey, so we're going to be talking about just overcoming challenges, because this is just one of those things that a lot of people in their life, they're going to have to overcome something, some kind of trial, but not everybody knows how to navigate through those challenges. Sometimes the challenges get the best of people and they just allow the storm to take over their circumstance, or they just continue going through that storm one step at a time, because there is an end, but people sometimes can't see the end because they just blind it.
Ooh. You can say that again. Ooh-wee.
So, you know, people don't like challenges because it forces us to have to adjust and get out of our comfort zone. And so when you think about overcoming challenges, what were one or two that that you had to overcome?
So it's a few challenges. So it started in 2019 when my nephew called me and said his mother, my sister, was dead. Totally unexpected, was walking out of work. He calls, he's frantic. He's like, Mom is dead. Mom is, and I was like, sweetie, what are you talking about? Calm down, calm down. So, and everything happened overseas. And so had to deal with the consulate, had to deal with moving my two nephews out of her house and services, like all of that. My mom, you know, losing a child, me losing a sister, nephew losing a mom, my sister losing a sister. So that was in 2019. 2020, I got diagnosed with cancer. Hardest thing was to tell my family I have cancer. What does that look like? Mm-hmm. I don't know. One of the first things my nephew said was, Auntie, what does this mean? We can't lose you. And that like broke me. I was just like, oh my God. So I'm going through my cancer journey, couple of years, 2 years, four surgeries. And then just recently in 2022, my mom passed. So yeah. These last few years have been very, very challenging, and we're still, you know, trying to handle my mom's estate. And it for my nephews, it was very, very hard trying to understand their feelings, trying to be there for them, because they just lost mom, and now they're living with grandma. Grandma was their caretaker coming up, so that's like mom, second mom. And then for them to lose grandma.
Right.
Was very traumatic for them. So those are the challenges that I had to overcome.
And how old are your nephews?
25. Oops, 25, and then 23. Yeah,
so grandma. Grandma was probably everything too.
Oh yeah, grandma. That my sister would drop them off when she go drop them off at her house, go to work. So she, when they was little babies to toddlers to her, my mom and my dad, they would feed them, clothe them, take them to the skate park. Like the house they had to move out of, not only was my childhood house, but it was like their childhood house as well too.
Right.
You know, and so. It's been very traumatic for them, but we're getting through.
Yeah. And loss is just, that's just never easy, no matter. I mean, especially when it's in a family and it's in this, you know, like a parent or like a sibling or just a close cousin.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, just when you think about death, I mean, my cousin, I think he was one of the ones that impacted me kind of the hardest, being at a young age somebody who was real close to me, who I looked up to like a brother. He gets shot and killed in Florida, all for breaking up some 13-year-olds from fighting. You'd be like, okay, but that was just the state of the time in Florida with you know, some racism stuff that was involved with this also, and everything just. And that was one of those defining moments where I had where I questioned God's reality, right?
Right.
Kind of being like a young believer is like, man, why would God allow something like this to happen? But then later on, you just kind of discover and know that we can't control every circumstances, and people are going to act the way they want to act just because God exists and is here, not maybe in the flesh that you could see. People still have that free will to make whatever decisions and choices they want to make.
Correct. No, and that's hard because it's, you know, your relationship with God is always tested. You know what I'm saying? So you can talk the talk, but when it's time to walk the walk, what do we actually do? How do we actually react? Because that's testing our faith, you know, that's testing everything that we've read, studied, we are learning, you know. So that's what makes it even more of a challenge, you know, because you have this faith that you're questioning, like you said. You're like, Lord, what? I don't get this. Like, can I get a break? You know, because some people go through these seasons of death, you know, like. As I was going through all of that, I was still losing, like, I lost my uncle. That was my dad's last living sibling that lived here in Sacramento. I lost a cousin that would constantly call and check on me. He passed away of cancer. Lost him. I lost another aunt. I lost two aunts, I think it was. So all of this, it was like a season of just loss that I was experiencing.
I was thinking about the statement that your nephew had made about you. I'm like, how did that make you feel when he said, what's going to happen with you? Or we can't lose you too.
It broke me because I was even hesitant about telling them because I knew we were just so fresh off of losing my sister. And it's just like, how do I tell my mom who already lost a daughter? You know, how do I tell my nephews who at a very young age, you know, lost their mother? Because one, my youngest nephew actually had just graduated from high school the year before. And then this next year he lost his mom, his like ride or die road dog, you know? And so when he said that, my heart just sank. And I was like, literally I was working and everything happened so fast. It's like, they called me. I told my family, I told my supervisors at work, I told my manager, because I was like, I don't know what these appointments are going to look like. I don't know how long I'm going to be out. I just don't know anything yet.
Right.
And then that afternoon, got an appointment. It was like Thursday, 2 days before Christmas, as a matter of fact. And then I got an appointment. They called oncology on Monday. And that's when everything started. But I was, it broke me, but at the same time, I was still processing the diagnosis itself. Right. So it was very challenging and hard.
And I know that because my mom, she went through cancer. Uh-huh. This was, I'm trying to remember what year it was. Oh man, I want to say like 2011, 2010, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Around there, and it was breast cancer. And even though it was stage one, the fears of having to look back, because my grandmother, she had cancer also and had and had passed away. So that's all my mom like really saw was that she wasn't in that space of, okay, this is stage one, and there's a, you know, a high probability that I could, you know, survive this and make it through. She wasn't thinking it like that. She was just thinking about the past. And sometimes those past fears, man, they play a major role sometimes in the way we think and the process information.
Mm-hmm. So, oh yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. And then and the thing about my past though, we don't have a history of cancer in our family.
Really?
Yeah. So it was kind of like came out of left field.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's kind of like, you sure you got the right person? Like, right. They set the test. Like,
you got the wrong chart, homie.
Right. Maybe they got the wrong chart or something. Like, you know, I wasn't expecting this. Like, because me and my sister, we were just talking about how, because the first time I ever had a mammogram, they called me back for a biopsy and uh-huh. they were like, oh, you have dense breasts. So I was like, okay. So I'm thinking the second time they're like, oh, they called you back for another biopsy, like two of them or something. It was like two of them, I think. One biopsy, but two areas because they had two tumors that they were testing. And so again, I was like, oh my God, here we go again with the dense breast. And my sister was like, oh my God, girl, yes, they do this all the time. So I finally decide, they told me to get a 3D mammogram. So I do that now because I always have to go back because something always shows up because it's the dense breast. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to ask for that next time. And then, hello? Oh, by the way, it came back cancerous. And I'm like, oh. And then the whole world just stopped.
Wow.
And I was like processing it. Like, and then everything is just like, wah, 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 wah. Because you're still trying to process that they tell you have cancer. So, yeah, my past experience didn't play anything into this because we don't have a history. So, yeah.
And when you talk about faith being tested, how important was it? How important was it for you then to be like, okay, God, this is me and you. I need you to show up and show out. You know what I'm saying?
Boy, bro, let me tell you. Let me tell you, bro. As I'm processing everything, I have a really, really good friend who, she's my, I call her my prayer partner because we used to, had a schedule like long time ago. We started have a schedule.
By the way, she didn't say partner. She said partner.
Partner. Yes. But a P-O-T-N-A. Partner. So yes. And so I called her. And she has experiences in helping Black women with breast cancer because she has her own organization called Carrie's Touch. And so she helped me to process everything. She gave me direction. She was like, you know, take someone to the appointments with you. But she also gave me a Bible verse straight up the top. And so she was like, God is telling me to give you this Bible verse. And it was Joshua 1:9, which says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I wrote that down because that, if you know the background of Joshua, Joshua was a young prophet and he was in war to where what God leaded him to this war that he was like, God, I'm too young for this. I don't know what to do with this. Like, using me for this, you know, but God constantly showed up for Joshua to give him, to let his, to reinforce his faith. Right.
Right.
And so that was the Bible verse she gave me. So that was the Bible verse I had constantly had to repeat to myself, along with Philippians 4:6-7, which says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So those are my two Bible verses that I relied on, and I just dug in. So I prayed about everything. I remember God telling Joshua, be strong, be courageous. So that's what he's telling me now. Yeah. You're about to go into war. Be strong and be courageous. Mm-hmm. So that's what I relied on.
And I like that too, because when you mentioned Joshua, the first thing I thought about was when after Moses passed away, you actually had the people that were who are on Moses' team told Joshua the same thing, to be strong and courageous. They had that faith and belief in him.
Yes.
And then God affirms it, tells by telling them the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And God added another thing. So he was like, I knew I was going to use you when you was in your mother's womb.
That's right.
You know, or before you was in your mother's womb. Like, so God's like, trust me. I know what I'm doing. And that's what I had to think to myself. And at that point, I just gave, in a sense, just gave my life to God, like in a different sense, right? Because I was just like, God, if this is how my life is going to end, I need to do it courageously. Because, I mean, we're all going to die. Like, we just don't know how it's going to be, when it's going to be, but we can't escape death, you know? And so I was just like, God, whatever you have for me, as your scripture says, just use it for the greater of your good somehow, some way. So when I prayed about it, God told me, he was like, it's not your time yet.
Yeah.
He was like, you're going to get through this. Now it's not going to be easy, but you're going to come out of this.
Right.
And so I just, my faith just had me keep my eye at the end. Mm. But at the same time, I didn't know a journey, why they called it a journey. You know, I thought it was one done surgery, whatever. Nope.
He said, nope.
Nope. Not at all. I felt like I was in a lab rat, because I have never been poked, prodded, tested so much until I had my diagnosis.
Wow.
Yes.
That is crazy. So nobody knows that journey, right? What they're actually going to go on. And you just imagine like all the journeys that people have gone on. If God was to be like, okay, I'm about to take you through this. This is what it's going to look like. You're like, please.
Right.
That, homie. Maybe God got it in a whole different way. Yeah, you better get that stuff out of my face.
Right. Just like, that's what I was like, oh, wait, you're going to use it for what? No. Yeah. You know. Exactly. Because, you know, we're going by what we see in front of us, not what we see in the future.
Right.
You know, so it's just, it's just hard.
You said that was Carrie's Touch?
Yes, Carrie's Touch. Yes. So Carrie's Touch is an organization that focuses on helping Black and Brown women to get through their breast cancer journey, because the founder herself, her name is Reverend Tammy Denise. She had been through a journey. And so she found through her journey how much that she had to advocate for equity in healthcare, you know, how much, you know, the statistic of that 40% more Black women than white women die of breast cancer because, you know, of different circumstances, you know. So she started this organization to specifically help move that agenda along and try to lower that statistic. Because, I mean, when I was diagnosed, she was diagnosed, I think, over 10 years before me. And the statistic had remained the same.
Wow.
And so she's really fighting and advocating to try to lower that statistic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so, how did she end up? You said, so did she reach out to you? I couldn't remember. Did she reach
out? No, I reached out to her.
So you reached out to her?
It was just, yeah. And it was difficult for her to process too, because I'm her partner, right? And so when I had to call her and tell her, Hadna, I have breast cancer. She's just like, huh, wait, what? Like, and then she's just like, oh, Hadna, you know, and I'm like, I know, I never thought I would make this phone call to you. But I mean, as you can see, everything's an integral part of God's plan.
Right.
We met years before, not knowing that it was part of God's sovereign plan that she would be one of the main characters of my victory team that was going to get me through this journey.
Wow. So how big is, just when you mentioned that, and that's your partner, your partner.
Yes, partner.
How important was just association and having the right people around you and being in the right environment just to navigate through this?
Oh my God. I can't even express how important it is. This was like one of the things that I had to change in order to overcome was more humbleness.
Ooh.
I was, yes. And then I was a person who's always giving. I had to learn to receive and just sit back. I'm independent. I'm single. I'm, you know, don't have any kids. I have godchildren. I have my nephews. So I'm pretty much in this by myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always, in a sense, not by myself, because I had a ton of support. My mom was here. My sister, they really never left my side. Not like my mom actually came and stayed with me after my first surgery when I had to have my double mastectomy, right? But that support is important, but I had to change. I had to learn the true meaning of humbleness. Mm. Like, people would bring stuff over and I would be like, oh, what's your Cash App? I mean, I think a couple of my friends had to kind of curse me out a little bit. Like, what are you thinking? Oh my God. Da-da-da-da-da, right? You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. They're like, no, this is for you. Like, you're always giving. It's time for you to receive. I had to learn that. It was hard. It was very hard. But the support that I had was just overwhelming. Let me just put it like that. I had people from out of state sending me stuff. I had people contacting me. I actually started a video blog where I have over 100 supporters on there. And I was like, God, this is amazing. And where the importance came in was intercessory prayer.
Ooh.
Because there were times where I couldn't pray for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew and I felt everybody else praying for me. Like, you got this.
Right.
So support was very important. But I kind of got my butt handed to me, though. But...
Look, I don't know why it's so hard sometimes to receive. Like,
right.
You know, as a giver, you just always want to give and provide, right? And then when it's your turn, it's like, man, this is kind of tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, so, I don't need that. I'm cool. Just keep it.
Exactly. And also, too, going to my doctor's appointments, I always had one or two people in there with me. Like, I have my partner. My sister always, because, you know, I zoned out, and this was like advisement of my partner. And it was very good advice, because you hear this and you just zone out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, after my pathology report came back for my double mastectomy, and I have to talk a little bit about how I came to the decision of my double mastectomy, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
But my surgical oncologist basically told me that I had two tumors that were noticeable on the scans. But when the pathology report came back, there was 16 additional tumors that were forming.
Wow.
That you couldn't see on the scan. So if I would have had a lumpectomy instead of a mastectomy, I would be back in the same boat. Again, that next year, once all those tumors formed.
Wow.
But it was God who helped me make that decision.
Yeah.
Because they were like, well, we could do a lumpectomy, which is just basically just taking the tumor out and getting clean margins, right?
Right.
Or mastectomy. So I was like, oh my God, like, why would I do a mastectomy, right?
Uh-huh.
If they can just take the tumor out, there's nothing wrong with the other breast. But yeah. I was open to it because I just let God lead right. me. So what they do is they do more tests, mm-hmm. going through the tubes again to make sure there's any other areas of concern. Long story short, right breast, my tumors were in my left breast. Right breast came back as precancerous cells after I had to advocate to get a biopsy because they were going to wait 6 months. And Pina was like, wait, we're going to wait 6 months on cancer? Like, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like, and, you know, I'm walking in a fog and I'm like, you right.
Yeah.
You know, so I asked God. And so they gave me a deadline. I had a victory team and they were like, you have to make your decision by this date. And I asked the doctor, give me a little bit of time. So I said, okay, the date came. I still hadn't made my decision. So I started typing, just texting. And I said, you know what? Let me just text them. And as I started texting, what came to me, what God was saying, like, you have one breast that obviously has cancer. You have the other breast that's like precancerous. The decision should be to do a double mastectomy, because what came to me was when you are saved and you are in a new life, you uh-huh. can't straddle with the old life.
Ooh.
So I felt like if I took one breast off and left one breast on,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? It's
yeah.
like straddling the old and the new, because God is making me anew in this process and in my cancer journey.
That's deep.
And I just started typing and then I just said, so I'm going to get a double mastectomy. Right. And that's right. how my decision came. And sure enough, if I wouldn't have done it, I would have been in the same boat.
Golly.
Because that was God. That was God. All God. Right? It's like, right? That's right. It's
oh
like speechless, right? It's like,
I'm just thinking about how you actually broke that down to
man.
Old with the new and straddling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because you can't straddle your old life with your new life. You have right. to choose one, right? That's what
right.
God says. So I chose the new. Starting fresh, starting anew.
Ooh.
And that's what I did.
Wow. And your partner brought it to fruition. 6 months? Come on.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Because that's why as Black women, we have to advocate for ourselves. Because
yeah.
they found something in my right breast. The radiologist actually came in. I was on the table to get the biopsy. And he was like, you know, it's really tiny. So let's wait 6 months and then we'll just redo it. You know, well, not redo it. We'll do it at that time.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, okay. Cause I'm in a fog. Cause I've been at all these appointments. One time I showed up to an appointment, didn't even have an appointment, forgot an appointment. Cause it was just so much. Right.
Right.
So I just like, okay. And so then I went back to the medical, surgical oncologist, but me and my partner had already talked. And, she was like, yeah, they just said it was too small. So I said, no, I need a biopsy. And she said, well, it's just like really, really. I said, no, I need a biopsy.
Yeah.
So she just was like, okay. And she started writing. She put the order back in. And then I went back. And as soon as they did, it's a little needle thing and it kind of sucks it out. Right. It's uh-huh. like that. Yeah. And as soon as they did that, it took everything out. Right. And so.
Right.
The radiologist at that time, she said, well, let me just do one more just in case. And sure enough, it came back precancerous.
Wow.
Yep.
Good
so
thing.
That doesn't, it's not a guarantee for cancer,
uh-huh.
but precancerous to me, I mean, it's like kind of pre-diabetic, pre-anything. You want to be proactive instead of reactive, right? And so, you know, God just spoke to me though. And he was just like, no, you gotta, we're going to start fresh. This is a new, don't keep an old with the new. You got to just go all the way.
That's dope. And he talks about that too in the scripture. He don't like
yes.
that gray area. He don't like the gray.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. He like, you got to make a decision. Like, exactly.
Don't be all God indecisive.
Very,
yep.
Yeah. He's very, he'll tell you like it is.
But Do you think just kind of going through everything, and because you mentioned the blog and having over 100 supporters and that, was that a way for you just to kind of release some of the stuff that was going on with
you? You know, yes, because I wanted to be total transparent with my journey, because so many people were worried about me, from my family back east to my sorors here locally and all over the regions. And it helped me to keep them updated. So it also cut down on people texting me. And like, you know, I had one contact person and was like, you know, everything went through her, but some people would just bypass her, just text me and be like, I know I'm not supposed to text you, but, you know, just know I'm praying for you. You don't have to like respond.
Right.
And so, but it just helped people. And also to my Bible study group, my BSF Bible study group, you know, they want to know how to pray for me, you know. So it was a way to gain all of that support, but being transparent about my journey and let other people know what it, how it looks like. Like, it's not pretty all the time, you know.
Right. Hey, thank you for joining me in this episode of Why Not You with my guest, Shannon Coleman. Hey, I hope you all were truly inspired by this first episode. Hey, it's only going to get gooder in part two. In the meantime, y'all have a blessed week. Be strong and courageous in whatever you do. And remember, focus on you to become the best version of you. This is your host, D. Wells.